It's weird. I almost forgot my name because she was making fun of me having a fake name for some reason. Taylor. Is that that's your real name, Taylor?
That's my real name.
That's your real name? Sure about that?
I'm positive.
Okay. So you remember that Tom Kanye came to Defenders?
I do. I think there's one thing we know about that guy. He does whatever the fuck he wants. I'm already pretty bored right now, so. Yeah. I'm not going to talk shit about Kanye because he already hates girls named Taylor, so I don't want to. At the time when I got the job with Defender Outdoors, I was Miss Dallas. But what I'm not going to do is go in and tell a group of liberals what they want to hear to make sure that I end up with a crown on my head. I don't operate well when I'm being told what to do.
You sound like me in a lot of ways.
That's the only type of leash I like.
At what point do you become a gun guy or a gun girl?
I think when you're shifting from being comfortable to knowledgeable is when you become a gun guy or a gun girl. It is our job as firearm owners, because the fucking media is not going to do it, to go in and combat what you're seeing in the news every day. I'm not going to take critiques from somebody that I wouldn't take advice from, because you're probably a fucking loser.
That's such an awkward ending.
Because you usually just end it. Thank you very much, Taylor, for coming out to my podcast.
Now I'm uncomfortable. It happened.
This episode of the Colion Noir podcast is brought to you by Vetter Holsters. Welcome to another episode of the Colion Noir podcast. It's weird. I almost forgot my name because she was making fun of me having a fake name for some reason. But anyway, Taylor. Is that your real name, Taylor?
That's my real name.
That's your real name? Sure about that?
I'm positive. Okay. That's what you're going to know.
Right. Fair enough. So, you currently work at Defenders, correct?
Defender Outdoors yeah. In Fort Worth.
So, I'm just going to jump right into this fire pit because I have some beef to pick with you at Defenders. Well, Defenders in general, not you. So, you remember that Tom Kanye came to Defenders?
I do.
Yeah. So, he had come to Defenders that same day. Right before that, I was with him over at TDSA, you know, in Ferris. You know, but the tire gun range, with all the tires and shit like that.
Yeah.
So, long story short, and I did a whole podcast about this, so I can send you the link to that and have you watch that. We had mutual acquaintances, whatnot. I'm starting to think it was a psyops by my ex, quite frankly. But he wanted to learn how to shoot. So, his assistant reached out to me, and he flew from fucking Paris on a private jet all the way to Dallas for me to kind of teach him how to shoot. He shows up, he lands, everything seems pretty good. He's got a little entourage with him. And then we get there, I'm going through the safety brief, and then he just leaves. And that was that. And then the next thing I know, a couple hours later, he pops up at Defenders for a photo shoot.
We had no idea he was coming.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But apparently I had whatever. Peter has his theories.
There's one thing we know about that guy. He does whatever the fuck he wants.
I mean, we're not going to say.
And I don't really think he has a reason behind 90% of it. So
I think there's a reason for it.
Wait, are we talking about Kanye?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Who the fuck did you think we were talking
about? We're talking about... said that. Does whatever he fucking wants and stuff and blah, blah, blah. I was like,
gotcha. Oh.
So why do you think he left?
I think... So apparently he's known for doing that. I think he did it to like Tim Pool. I think he did it to some other people also. At the time, I didn't know that. Before that, I thought I just bored him from a... whatever attention deficit issue he has.
I'm already pretty bored right now, so.
Yeah, that's cute. So... And the funny thing is, I admittedly was being very boring because I'm like, I don't want this guy because he's fucking Kanye. Yeah. So I don't want anything to happen on my watch in terms of safety. So I'm going deep down a rabbit hole on this like gun safety thing, right? And then everybody else was intrigued. Everybody was loving it except for him, right? So I think I initially thought I bored him. Then I thought, maybe those old videos I did about Kim K at the time, because they were still together. I think there was like some like, oh God, no, you're with him. Don't do that with him. Leave now, kind of a thing, right? I don't know. And I think it's just something he does. And I'm not a medical professional, so I can't speak to any possible mental health reasons or maybe he just got there and he's like, I don't like his energy.
Well, based on how he shot at Defender.
Oh, he actually shot?
Yeah, he came and he shot.
I didn't know he actually shot.
I think it was obvious that you had not done any training with him before. And I'm not a marksman, but...
Yeah, but it was pretty blatantly off. See,
I'm not going to talk shit about Kanye because he already hates girls named Taylor, so I don't want to.
Do they still hate each other? Does he still hate her now? I thought they made up. She was at like his concert.
He made that
at some
bitch
point.
Famous. So
wasn't she already famous?
She's. I think. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. She was.
Sure.
Yeah. She was pretty famous.
She's pretty famous.
So, okay, so how did you get started at Defenders? Because you kind of are very contrastive of life.
Yeah, so I grew up around guns. So I'm one of those people who's basically born with one in my hand. Mm-hmm. Deep East Texas, my entire family, avid hunters. But at the time when I got the job with Defender Outdoors, I was Miss Dallas. And before my pageant interviews, and I was going into a mock interview this day, I would always have, you know, a little bit to drink, which it would just loosen me up a little bit. So I'm all dolled up in the pageant bullshit. And I stopped in at Sushi Axiom to have a glass of wine before I went into this mock interview.
I thought you were throwing shots back or something.
No, that was before Miss Dallas, like the actual.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right.
For the mock interviews, I wasn't as nervous. I stuck to like the wine, you know.
Okay.
Liquor only came in for the actual event.
For the actual event.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I'm sitting at the bar. I'm having a glass of Chardonnay or something, and six guys come in. They sit down at the bar next to me, and these happen to be the owners of Defender Outdoors. And we just start chatting, just like you and I are chatting right here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an hour goes by, and they're like, "Hey, do you have a job?" It's like, I'm drinking wine at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday. No, I don't have a fucking job. I just graduated from TCU at the time, and they were like, "Yeah, if you don't win, you know, Miss Texas, mm-hmm. you should come interview for this job."
So you didn't win Miss Texas?
I didn't. Yeah. I don't have a sad story. Yeah,
so the drinking didn't work?
No. It didn't work at Miss Texas. The drinking didn't work.
The question is, though, did you really want to win Miss Texas?
No, and I think that probably showed. Yeah. I'm actually, I don't know. I wouldn't mind winning if I did it authentically. Mm-hmm. But what I'm not going to do is go in and tell a group of liberals what they want to hear to make sure that I end up with a crown on my head.
Fair enough.
Because ultimately, even if you do win, then at that point, they're going to tell you what to say. And I don't operate well when I'm being told what to do. So
you sound like me in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, I remember.
Maybe you should do beauty
patterns. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't.
They.
I did kind of, sort of. I judged it.
Well, now you can identify as whatever you want and you can go compete. You're too old, though.
Jesus Christ. Like, how old do you think I am?
41. I looked it up.
Oh, Jesus, you're wrong, but okay.
Oh, that's what the internet says.
No, I'm 41. I'll be 42 in,
okay.
At the end of the month.
Yeah, so close. I'm sitting there. I meet these guys. I go to Miss Texas. I don't win. Mm-hmm. And I went and interviewed. I've been at Defender ever since. So I've been there for 9 years and just woke up one day and realized I've been in the firearm industry for almost a decade. Looking at opening a range with my dad and my brothers out in East Texas. So I just, mm-hmm. I kind of fell into it, and it's something I love.
So I got to ask. So I had had my good friend Cody on here from Raise. He works at Raise, but they don't have a gun range attached to it. Like Defenders is like all in one, right?
Yeah.
Like you have like a bunch of guns you can go buy.
Shop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So what is it like environment wise, like working at a gun range? Like what are some of the things that you've experienced where you would say you would only really get this working at a gun range?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an easy answer. I think in a time where, you know, guns are seen as this polarizing topic. Mm-hmm. Everybody feels strongly one way or the other. And it's funny that it's something that is seen as a divisive subject. What I actually see at Defender Outdoors is people from all walks of life actually come together to agree on this one thing.
Gotcha.
So the irony there is just something I love seeing every day. Additionally, I mean, we had a guy come in from USCCA recently and train our staff on how to connect with customers. And one of the things I've started trying to do since going through that training is really ask my clients, why are you joining a gun range? Why are you buying a gun for the first time? Mm-hmm. And when you start hearing those stories, you really wrap your mind around the fact that what it all comes down to is people want to protect themselves. Yeah. So, you know, one of my dad's favorite quotes, you've seen Swamp People?
Oh, no.
They're alligator hunting. Like
I'm aware of it, but I never really like sat down and watched.
Oh, it's
like,
good. It's good, right? Shit.
Okay.
So we're sitting there watching it, and at one point the alligator comes up and they shoot these things between the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
his,
I do know.
His gun okay. jams. Mm-hmm. And then they say something like, the alligator done jumped up and bit you, then what? So my dad and I always say, then what? And when I'm thinking about people who don't own a firearm.
I'm sorry, I'm so lost.
You're still, I will tie it all back together.
You can bring it home.
So yeah, at Defender, I think the reason people come there is because at the end of the day, they want to be able to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is like people have all these opinions about guns, but if a violent criminal chooses you and they end up in your home and you have to defend yourself, then what?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have a way to do that, once you're fucked and you're already in that situation, like, are you now going to wish that you're one of those people that would kind of dropped your fears and walked into a place like Defender and said, hey, I know nothing about the subject.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound stupid. I'm scared to be here. I'm scared of guns, but I want you guys to change that for me. So we get to take firearms and make it to where they're no longer associated with danger, and they start to associate them with safety.
Gotcha.
And that's why I like Defender.
So do you have people come in, generally speaking, who are new to guns? Are they coming in with somebody else, or you get people just coming in by themselves like, hey, I'm new to this. I don't know what I'm doing.
You know, a little bit of both. Okay. A lot of women are coming in because maybe they've been through a situation where they now feel like they need to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's just coming in with a friend, and you can always tell who's bringing their friend in because people are nervous. But, you know, that's what we're there for. And the best thing to see is the people that that come in terrified and they leave. And, you know, by the time they've left, they've gotten a membership with me. They've gone and booked a private lesson with one of our instructors. Maybe they're looking at getting into the league night. It's like, you know, a flip of a switch, and they're ready to just really dive into it.
Gotcha. So what do you, so from that perspective, what do people tend to lean towards in terms of firearms? Because everybody kind of has their preconceived notion, like, oh, I want to get a gun for the first time and I want it to be this, because, like, where do you see people leaning towards in terms of what type of guns they're looking for? Because, you know, there's kind of that old adage of, you know, first time, especially with women, right? It's like, oh, I'll get a revolver, call it a day, and be good to go. But I do feel like there's kind of been a transition now where things are kind of changing in that regard. All right, so I've got to give a quick shout out to Vetter Holsters. They're now sponsoring the podcast. I've been using their light tuck kydex inside the waistband holster, and what I really like is how adjustable it is. You can tweak the ride height and cant to get it exactly how you want. Plus, they've got holsters for over 450 gun models in 75 different colors, so you can pretty much find whatever you need. But here's the thing that really sets them apart: their customer service. I've heard so many stories about how they've gone above and beyond to make sure you're happy with your holster, and with a lifetime warranty and a 30-day money-back guarantee, it's clear they stand behind their products. If you're in the market for a great holster, check them out at betterholsters.com.
Yeah, I think it just depends. So it depends on if they're trying to get something to carry, which we're seeing more and more now, or if they're just trying to buy a gun for their home. But really, I'm not the one out on the retail floor pushing them towards what gun they want to purchase. They more get to me when they're ready to start doing their training and join as a member. And that's kind of why I started dipping my toe into the social media stuff, because I run our membership department. We have thousands of members. And from a business perspective, my job is to be a tool to those members. And yes, I've been in the industry for 9 years, but I really didn't consider myself that knowledgeable on firearms. And so when they would start to ask me the questions, I wanted to no longer have to say, hey, let me go get you with the guys. I wanted to be able to answer those questions, because I'm the one that's establishing the relationship with them. I want them to be able to trust me and seek me for information like that.
Gotcha. So you run the social media side of things, which is funny because that's how I came across.
No, so I do run my social media. So you run your social, okay. But not Defender's.
You don't run the, okay, gotcha.
But I collab with them on stuff when if my shit's appropriate for their page, then we collab. Which, our ownership's pretty chill, so
I will give them that. I will give them that. I will give them that. They seem to keep you on a very long
leash. That's the only type of leash I like. Yeah, I don't do short leashes.
All right, so what is your go-to? I like asking these, like, innocuous, they're not really innocuous, they're like typical ass questions in terms of, like, what's your go-to, like, home defense gun or your go-to carry gun? And I want to know, and I'm like overloading you with questions, right?
Yep.
From a woman's standpoint, when they're carrying a firearm, like, I don't know how I would carry if I was a woman, personally. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about doing that? Or do you even carry on a regular basis?
Yeah, so I like both of these questions. So I'll start with the first part, which is what I keep in my home. So I just did a post because I bought the Spikes Tactical ST9.
Okay.
So short barrel. I realized that I was sleeping next. I carry a SIG P238. That's my EDC. So I realized I'm sleeping next to a gun every night that has 7 rounds in it. And I was like, this is probably stupid, because what if I need, you know, what if 3 motherfuckers break in and I only have 7 bullets and I don't have my contacts in? So I was like, I need a bigger gun next to my bed. So all within a week, I ended up buying the ST9.
Okay.
So I have that next to my bed. Additionally, I got the CZ P09 or P09. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that has 19 rounds in it. And I have a little flashlight and sight mounted on it. So those are my two bedside guns now.
Okay.
And then every day I carry my SIG P238.
Gotcha, gotcha. So the so you're going with a PCC PCC pistol combo, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any reason why not? You don't go full powered rifle rounds or anything like that? Like 2.2-3.5 is just perfect.
No, I have those two. Oh. Yeah, so okay. I have a I have multiple other guns next to my bed.
Okay.
But the one that's like my you just gun. Did a video, I think, yeah, where you said my bedside setup. Yeah. My go to's if somebody breaks in are gonna be those two guns.
Okay.
The others they're in the room and there's extra magazines loaded. They're all there. Gotcha. You know, but those are just my go to.
What do you prefer to shoot? Like say you're going to the range, you're just shooting the shit.
My handgun. Yeah, okay. my P238.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's what I carry every day. That's what I need to be the most comfortable with.
No, I asked you what you like to enjoy, like actually just going to shoot the shit and enjoy it.
Oh, I mean, when people bring in, so I work, I officed out of our Shield Club for 8 years, which is our private client. So these are doctors, lawyers, financial guys. So they would bring in pretty expensive firearms. So I've gotten to shoot some really cool stuff. I would say like the Staccato is what I shoot best with. Okay. I would like to get one of those in the near future.
Yeah. I always say those are the cheat code guns.
Yeah.
People think I get a lot of shit for saying that. I think the 2011 platform as a whole is a cheat code. It's just very easy to shoot, very low recoil. I love them. Love them to death. So I totally understand that.
I feel like I'm digging a hole over here because I'm sounding like pretty decently knowledgeable on firearms, and I'm gonna look up and I'm gonna be fucking buried.
I think you're overthinking it.
Okay.
Because here's the thing about firearm knowledge, right? Because there are some guys I sit and I talk to, and I feel like I don't know shit.
Yeah.
Right. Like don't. Know
I feel
shit.
Like that every day at work.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think there's something about that. I think that's the beautiful side of it, and because you could go as deep and deep and deep into it as you want, right? Or you're talking about grainage in terms of how to load a bullet or a cartridge or whatever, right? And or you can just be a surface level as understanding, okay, that's a Glock, that's a Ruger, you know, things of that nature. And I probably should do a video about this. At what point do you become a gun guy or a gun girl? Like what would you?
I think when you're shifting from being comfortable to knowledgeable is when you become a gun guy or a gun girl.
Okay.
You know, like there's people in the gym that they can be in shape and they can be comfortable in the gym and they can generally know what they're doing. That doesn't mean that they're knowledgeable on the subject or have any fucking business giving somebody workout advice, right?
Yeah.
Like you can be comfortable there and look like you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to, do you have actual knowledge? Maybe not. So like that's what I'm trying to dive into, because I think, to me as a firearm owner, I think a important part of it, just like for Christians, part of being a Christian is that you're supposed to spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't do that if you don't know how to articulate your opinion.
Sure.
And if you haven't read the Bible. Mm-hmm. So I think once you get past that, you know, I've bought a firearm, I've learned how to use it, I've trained with it. Now you need to dive into, do I know the laws? Am I knowledgeable? Mm-hmm. Do I know how to articulate my opinion? Do I know what's going on in politics? Because with there being so much misinformation mm-hmm. out there, it is our job as firearm owners, because the fucking media is not going to do it,
mm-hmm.
to go in and combat what you're seeing in the news every day.
True.
So if you become a source of knowledge and you can articulate that, then now you're doing the part that like nobody has boots on the ground doing.
Yeah.
You can get into the discussions with people just like the girls from your Sunday brunch podcast.
Oh yeah, you watch that.
Yeah, you can then give them facts. I mean, a lot of people don't want to hear the facts,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't know them, then you have no leg to stand on. Then you're the same as the opposing party. So
I mean, I think there's I'm not going to call it frustrating, but for a lot of people, I think they get into it from either like the defensive safety side or like the fun side. Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's fun to shoot. Guns are fun. They're cool, right? And then you start kind of talking to them about the politics side of it and things of that, and it kind of becomes bored. I honestly think, generally speaking, to answer your question with some finality, I think I bored Kanye. I think Kanye came in for a photo op, and when he realized that, nah, bro, that's not what we're doing here. Like, you're gonna learn how to shoot. Like, and I think it either overwhelmed him or bored him. And so he went to go get a photo op, which he got, which I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that, because in a weird way, there's this dance between being appealing to the general masses.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, you can't bring them over. Right.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some level of appeal there. And then when they get over here, then it's kind of like, it's like trying to figure out how fast or slow you want to bring them into the serious
side. You got to pace differently with different people.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you could definitely overwhelm them. And I've always considered myself a gateway drug. I say I'm the gateway drug into the gun world, right?
Yep.
I'm not a master when it comes to firearms. I can shoot, but I look at it as me as the, you start, I'm like, okay, you may discover me, and then you'll start kind of going down and you'll find your lane. Or you just you just stay with my black ass. But I do think there's, I think that's the kind of beauty in it as well. It's just the kind of the versatility of how deep somebody wants to go.
But, yeah, some people are just posturing, you know?
Yeah, there's that. There's definitely
that. And I think that those are almost the most like detrimental people to our side of things, you know? Yeah. People that are posturing and just wanting to look cool, because I mean there's, I like that side of guns too. I like that they're loud and they go, you know, they go bang and I feel fucking like a little badass when I'm shooting a fully automatic weapon. But at the same time, at the end of the day, it's just like I said, it's about protecting yourself.
Yeah. I mean, all things can be true at the same time, right?
Yes.
You can be an imposter in terms of you love the superficial aspects of a firearm, but then still be knowledgeable about the safety component, knowledgeable to a certain extent about the politics, and all those come into play as well. It's funny, I used to get a lot of shit when I first started doing what I do, because I would always call certain guns sexy.
Yeah.
If people were like, guns are not sexy, they're a tool. And I was like, no, you're a towel. They're definitely sexy. But yeah, I find guns sexy. I love,
for sure.
I'm an aesthetics guy. I like things that look good. But that's not the depth of what I am when it comes to firearms. But I do think there's a place for, you know, guns are sexy. They're cool. They go bang, you know.
You don't like think about them during sex, but sometimes
I feel like you're gonna judge me. No, I don't think about them during sex. People have alluded to that quite a bit, though. I've had a lot of comments there like, "Bro, go get a girlfriend. Like, something's wrong with you. Like, you know, shit like that." Because clearly, I post my entire life on social media, so you know everything that's going on.
When everybody has something to say.
There's that. How do you deal with that? Because you know, social media now, it's like, you would think it would get better in terms of hate, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's funny that you say that, because last night, a girl from, I tried out for Dallas Cowboys cheerleader when I was, I just turned 18. Okay. I mean, I was a child and probably a sheltered one at that. I think I'd gotten like my first kiss.
You were
kiss
a child because you're an 18? Or just because you're like, you're experiencing
a world. And mentally, gotcha. I mean, I think I was sheltered. I grew up in a really good family and my parents have been together for 40 years and I have a great relationship with my brothers. Like, I just hadn't really been exposed to, don't worry, like over the last decade, life has bent me the fuck over like everybody else. So got it. Like it life stuck it to me too. But, at the time I was sheltered and I tried out for Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, and a girl messaged me last night that I guess 15 years later, almost, that, you know, they filmed that. There's a show about it.
Okay.
And I'm on there at 18. I'm Deep East Texas. I have no filter. I am annoying as fuck and super immature, if you want to call being 18 immature. I think it's just being young.
Yeah.
But 14 years later on Reddit last night, there's a whole thread, you know, people still talking shit about that scenario. A lot of them defending me, but then, you know, a lot of them calling me immature. And I'm like, you're probably 50 years old and 14 years older later, you're making fun of a 18 year old for being immature. So it's like, I don't know. I guess the way that I kind of get to a point to where I don't give a fuck what people think is, I'm not going to take critiques from somebody that I wouldn't take advice from. Right. And I think 99% of the people that I meet, I would never take anything that they said to me to heart. So when people are saying that stuff online, I'm like, I would love to see what your life is like behind your device, because you're probably a fucking loser.
It can be humbling too, though.
Yeah, it can be.
No, not in the way you're thinking. I mean, humbling from the standpoint that I can get somebody make a comment about me in a negative manner, and then I'm like, fuck this person, and then I get all in my feelings about it, and then I go, and it's like a 12-year-old.
Like, that's great.
You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting all worked up, and I go find out, and it's like, bro, this is a child. Like, why are you putting that much effort into dealing with what essentially is a child?
Do you ever think, too, that maybe, I think if somebody can offend me, then maybe the exact comment that offended me is something that I should take and look in the mirror about?
To a certain extent. You got to be careful with that. You got to be careful with that, because there are some very manipulative fucking people, right? And they understand that some people can, like, they can use your desire to better yourself against you.
Yeah.
To tear you down, right? Because they could just kind of nitpick at certain things, and you're like, wait, is there some merit to that? So now you're stuck in this perpetual circle of like questioning yourself and doubting yourself, right?
For sure.
So it's like, you kind of have to.
But if it's an insult within reason, right?
Fair enough.
Like somebody calls me fat, I'm not going to.
There's.
Like, yeah, go fuck yourself.
But if I hit you with the like you're putting on a little weight now.
If you hit me with like you're stupid and you don't know shit about guns, I'd be like, oh, fuck, he's kind of right.
But that's just because you might have already had an insecurity about that, right? So like, there's like a little bit of that is kind of like imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah. Right? I've been struggling with that a lot the last 2 months.
Everybody named Mama. Like, don't overthink it. Like, I've been doing this for how long now? About 20 years or so. And I still look up sometimes, and I'm like, there's certain things that I should probably know how to do as a gun guy that I don't. And I'm like, you're an imposter. Like, something's wrong with you.
No, I think you're definitely not.
But the point I'm getting at is
you've changed the game for yourself. So,
but at the same time, the fact that I'm even still dealing with that should, you know, don't be too hard on yourself in that regard.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's always shit that you're going to need to know.
Yeah.
And I think the only time where it becomes a problem is where you try to pass yourself off as knowledgeable and you don't know shit.
Yeah, that's why. That's where. When you message me, my response was, hey, I'm not an expert.
Yeah, it was like, I'm not bringing you on here to have a conversation about, you know, the intricacies of caliber choices, right?
Right.
But the point of my podcast, at least for me, one, I just want to have conversations that are cool and fun for me to have. And then two, just to demonstrate the diversity and the differences within the space, right?
Yeah.
Just give it a personality that the gun space really hasn't had in a long time, right? And so for me, I'm always looking out, trying to look for people. I'm like, oh, that person's interesting from that perspective. And then you were doing the whole pageantry shit. And then I was like, oh, I judged a Dallas competition before. So
I wish you would have been my judge. You would have been like, is she seem drunk to y'all?
I probably would have picked you for that. They didn't like my pick very much, like I talked to you about off camera. Pageants are interesting. They're very, very interesting.
They are.
In that, like, it's incredibly fucking subjective, but then it's very objective in the way, in terms of what they're looking for, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I would be a wreck if, like, my emotions were based on my ability to win pageants. Because it's so fucking subjective.
Yeah, sometimes I thought losing them felt good because it meant that I didn't fit in with all those liberal fucktards, you know?
So wait, hold on. I didn't get... Okay, so I got like a 50-50 vibe in terms of...
Oh, like, no, things. It's not that.
I got like, all right, some of these are like super far left crazies. And then like some of them are kind of more lean, kind of like centrist or more conservative. I kind of got, 70-30. 70-30 kind of really super left-leaning, but then 30,
maybe
30-ish percent were kind of like, but then maybe 80-20 because they would kind of have to tone it down a little bit. Like, you kind of have to play the...
I mean, the word pageantry itself, like, does that not just draw you towards liberals?
No.
See, I think so now. Like, I was telling Peter, I feel like one of the reasons I stopped winning is because I didn't have a sad story. Like, and I didn't look the way that I needed to anymore. So I enjoyed pageants when I was younger, when I was 16. I think that there's a lot of good that can come from it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up studying politics and I grew up doing a lot of community service work, going into schools, speaking to students. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that are beneficial. And I think it does help boost your self-confidence, learning how to carry yourself and, There were all those things when I was younger, but then I grew up, and once you grow up, if you really step back and look at it, I always felt like this about cheerleading too. I got to college and I was cheering at TCU. I was like, does anybody else feel like fucking weird? You know, we're 20 years old with a bow in our hair down here, just like, and that's how I felt in pageant. I was like, this is fucking gay.
What would you wear? What would you have them wear?
Have them wear what?
If they weren't wearing that, what would you have them wear?
I don't know. I don't know what they need to wear. I just feel like I looked up and I felt like a weird little child. So I'm not good at being a part of a team. That's what I told that girl that messaged me last night about DCC. Because part of the rumor was, why did Taylor never come back? She didn't come back because she was bullied. And I was like,
DCC.
Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. Gotcha, and I was like, I didn't give a fuck that I was bullied. It comes down to the fact that I'm not good at being part of a team. Like, I don't want to be a part of a team. I don't do that well. So I, you know, I tried to do a sorority, I quit. Tried to do cheerleading, quit.
I disagree. I think you don't do well being part of a team of people you don't like.
Yeah.
Right. And then I think there is an aspect to you that really doesn't do performative for very long.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, inevitably, and this is just the short period of my time of me psychoanalyzing you.
Yeah, in the last hour of us knowing each other.
I think there's an aspect to it where eventually your true self is going to come out. And,
yeah.
And if you're around a bunch of people who are engaged in being performative, it's going to become problematic.
Right.
So.
I don't do fake.
That was like my, like, let me have my, like, overly intellectualized way of saying that. Like, you just got to undermine my whole...
Yeah, just like, keep it simple.
Let me Dr. Phil it. Damn, what the fuck?
I hate fake people.
let me Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. I think that's what it is. And then in the spaces that you were in, yeah, there was a lot of fucking fakery.
Yeah.
And you definitely don't strike me as somebody that does well.
I mean, I've done the same thing this year, just like with my friends and people in my life, is just kind of done a little bit of cleanup, you know?
Hmm? I can dig that. I'm about to do that with Peter.
You clean up, Peter.
Yeah.
You get this guy the fuck out of here.
I got to get a new Asian.
I run your podcast now.
He pretty much does.
Yeah.
But no, I appreciate you saying yes to coming on. Like I said, I just like to show different perspectives.
Yeah.
And you're always welcome. I mean, you're local. So if you want to come on and talk about fake people, we can do that.
If I want to come on and talk to a fake person.
Yeah.
Better do that here.
Just don't fucking undermine my Dr. Phil moments. It's like, if we can agree on that, we're good. No. But no, yeah. I think we'll have you back on.
You think so?
I think so. Yeah, I'm a DCC. Like, you know.
Watch the show?
I haven't watched it. I'm going to go watch it, though.
No, it's embarrassing.
Is it that bad?
Yes. My accent is so thick on there because I'm just...
Did you purposely get rid of your accent or just natural?
No, it's just like I've been in Fort Worth for 14 years now, so my accent is slowly...
You act like you moved from
gone away.
East Texas to the UK. Like, it's still Dallas,
No,
Texas.
But have you ever been the deep, like, backwoods East Texas? There's some weird shit going on.
Am I allowed there?
Yeah, for sure. We'll bring you out to the ranch. My family lives on a couple thousand acres out there, and we'll bring you out there. You'll come back.
I got.
I mean, you'll come back. You're too high profile. That's the only reason you're coming back, though.
Fair enough. I'm gonna come loaded for bear, though. So
yeah.
it's gonna be hard. I'm just letting you know. It's gonna be hard,
dude.
I'm gonna tell you.
Arsenal out there.
Yeah. Well, I know. I know people.
Okay.
I know people. I know you know people.
My brothers are crazy as fuck.
I know some crazy people too. You know, like when people start fixing and adjusting shit.
Yeah, are you crazy?
No, I'm not crazy.
Just a little bit, though.
I wouldn't call I'm weird. I wouldn't say crazy.
Weird.
How would you define crazy?
I don't. I guess when you lose touch with reality, that would be what I define as crazy.
I think sometimes I flirt with it, because when you're public, so to speak, right? Your reality does get a little skewed.
Yeah.
Because you almost develop an almost false sense of importance to a degree. So I can be out sometimes and I don't know how to interpret a look. I don't know if that look is, they recognize me, or for whatever, there's something about me that grabs their attention. I don't know. And then also I have to think about stuff in a way that most people who aren't public do.
Yep.
So like, there are certain things I can't be outdoing, right? Like somebody like, the chances of you seeing me shit-faced, drunk, bobbling around somewhere in public is going to be probably slim to none.
Yeah.
Not because I judge people who do
that.
You
just do that at home. Yeah.
Yeah, plead the fifth. So so there's that aspect of it, right? There's a little bit of distancing. But I got people like Peter around, and, you know, and I tend to think the people I keep around me don't allow me to come completely disconnected. But I'm still very much weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird's good.
It can be. Like, there's like cool weird, and then there's just like, fuck is wrong
weird,
with you?
Weird.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, so which made me uncomfortable. So well, I haven't been uncomfortable, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's good.
Stick around long enough.
Yeah. I was gonna
say it just it'll elevates happen. From here, baby. Nah, I think I'm. What do you think, Peter?
Oh, we don't want to.
Shut the fuck up. No, what do you think?
As far as in what? If you're weird?
Yeah.
You're weird. But you're definitely more grounded than most other people, but also you do pay my paycheck, so.
There's fuck, yeah, there's that. Yeah.
I think if you weren't weird, then you wouldn't have the platform you have.
I do think for anybody who's willing to put themselves in front of a camera and like thrust themselves forward publicly, there's got to be some level of like weirdness or transient narcissism in there somewhere.
No, definitely you are. But also,
I feel like narcissism got such a bad rap. Maybe there's some of it.
We got a bad rap because it's a bad rap. I think people overuse it.
Yeah. Like, well, every bitch wants their ex to be a narcissist. He was just a narcissist.
I was about to get there.
Yeah, but you're also just a fucking bitch. So don't be a little bitch.
I think to a degree, I think social media, and this is going to be so fucking cliche to say, has made everybody a little bit of a narcissist, or has kind of pulled out the inner narcissist.
Yeah, it's built around that.
Exactly. So now take that and magnify it a little bit more for somebody who's like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be public.
Yeah.
Even though technically I didn't plan this. It kind of just happened. So there's that.
Well, I feel like it happened well for you.
I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does come with this bullshit, though.
Everything does.
Nuts.
If it doesn't, it's not worth it.
Touche. Touche. Well, thank you very much, Taylor. Peter's wrapping me up because he hates when I go long.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to have you back on.
Such an awkward ending.
Because you usually just end it.
No.
We don't have formal endings.
No. Okay.
Can we end again?
Yeah. All right, we're going to end again. You know, the funny thing is he's going to keep all this in there.
Yeah.
He's going to, like, the ending is going to be kept as well. So we're going to do form in. Thank you very much, Taylor, for coming out to my podcast. I really enjoyed the conversation. I look forward to having you back on.
I'm not coming on if it goes like this. Now I'm uncomfortable. It happened. You made me uncomfortable.
I did, or Peter?
Both of you guys.
All right. Cut.